From God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is the Old Testament lesson. Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As the shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and on a dark day. And then, because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns and scattered them abroad, therefore I will save my flock and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is our text. So have you ever thought about the fact that what should God do when the people he's called to be church refuse to be church, to serve the flock, to care for the body of believers, that is. In fact, once you become a member of the church, Your whole purpose for being is in part tied to this whole thing we call the church. Paul talks about it in Galatians 6, verse 10, where he says that we are to take care of the household of faith, and a number of other passages. What do you do when people refuse to hear, to listen, to faithfully carry out their offices? Who seem to use the church and all that God's established for their own benefit? What do you do? And what about others, those who seem weak, who have stumbled, who require extra time and energy? We like to think about the church, and many times we get stuck back into those old scripts which said, well, you know, we're the good people and the people who won't bother with church, you know, the weak and the stumbling and the people in prison and so on and so forth. We don't have time for them. They require extra time and energy. God doesn't talk like that. God speaks about the fat and the lean sheep. The fat sheep, the person who just takes in all that God gives them, but doesn't see any connection to the body of Christ. The fat just want what they want, and they will push the weak, the failing, out of the way. They'll ignore them. Even as we see in the gospel lesson, Matthew 25, you saw me in all of these conditions. When did we see you, Lord? When you didn't do it to your brother. We know the excuses that people use for this. We've seen it throughout the history of the church. The lean are those in need, hungry, sick, in prison, in need of clothing. But we're automatically thinking right away, well, they got what they deserved. They walked away. And part of this has to do, obviously, with the call to the church to be the church. That is, to deal, to discipline those who have wandered and got themselves into a mess. God gave those words to his church. But many times the church, well, they look at this, just like the Jews did at Jesus' time, and they said, now look, we can't create a bunch of trouble here. We can't get everybody upset. Otherwise, the whole church is going to crumble. Everything's going to be decimated. And of course, as a pastor, as well as members, you can understand people feeling that way. You can understand why they might be a little bit apprehensive about these things. But that's the only way to bring the lost sheep, the fallen sheep, you know, the ones that Jesus sat with. the tax collectors, the prostitutes, those people that the church people were saying, oh, he doesn't seem to know who he's with. The church can become self-satisfied and will not be bothered with being the church. That's what God's getting at here. That's what he's getting at. For he looked at this time in the life of his people during the prophet Ezekiel, and he had seen them swept away to Babylon, where things were dark. And so he sends out his prophet because, you see, he doesn't give up. We heard that last week. He doesn't give up. He promises to care for his sheep. Even those remnant, the faithful ones who were swept away with all of those who didn't care to be a church, didn't care to be a member of the body of Christ, didn't care. Throughout history, there have been those who were to care for God's body, God's church, God's bride. And they've often failed to carry out the work that God called them to do. Those who were leading the people of God set aside the work of administering the means of grace. The Lord made clear that the things he established at Sinai, and even before when he made the promise in the garden, were to be kept, were to be treasured, were to be guarded. They were to be given to people. That was the most important thing. Not getting out of slavery, that was not the most important thing. The reason to get out of slavery is because the Pharaoh started to kill baby boys. And also that God had promised that they would be there for a while. But they had a good time of it. Oh, I know they were oppressed at the end, but they had the fat of the land. Joseph had taken good care of them. They had multiplied. They had grown fat. But they had gotten lost. They had forgotten who they were. They had forgotten what was important. Now, the whole of the Old Testament sacrificial system, the tabernacle, the teaching, the blood, the sacrifices, were all meant to be means by which repentant sinners could be called back and sustained in faith. Faith in the coming of Christ. The problem is that other people think that the church is their venue, what they want it to be, and that happened again and again and again. Remember, well, when they left Sinai, they were out in the wilderness while Moses was up on the mountain. And because he was up on the mountain, because they did not want to listen to God. They couldn't bear to hear God. And then they started to say, well, maybe he's dead, so we'll make a God of our own. The sacrifices, the Passover, were meant to point his people to trust in the coming of the Messiah, through whom they would be saved from sin, death, and the devil. And that is the goal of life. On the last Sunday of the church year, the goal of life is not to remain safe here. And matter of fact, God said, we will not be safe here, humanly speaking. We'll be persecuted, we'll be put to death, we'll suffer with the rest of the people. But we will be safe in the arms of Christ. Over and over again, God, those charged with leading his people, reading his word, the covenant, the words God gave to Moses, they failed to take seriously this work, and the sheep began to get lost. They became confused. They became tempted, and they fell under the spell of one set of idols after another. Over and over again, the Lord sent them prophets like Zephaniah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Isaiah, to call them to repentance. And they killed them. They stoned them. They threatened them. They hated them. Why? Well, we heard last week. Why did they hate them? Because human beings don't like to be told that they need to be saved. They need to repent and seek a Savior. Luther says in the fourth part of baptism that this is our daily life. When human beings lose this as their daily life, daily contrition and repentance, for we daily sin much, and we need to be turned our eyes. Whenever we sin, we take our eyes off of Christ and we trust something else. We make that our goal. And so all the time we have to be called back to fixing our eyes on Christ. God's call started with the leaders, the king, the prophets, the Levites, the priests, so that the sheep would not get lost. You see, the whole point of calling those people to repentance, the leaders, was because they had a responsibility to the sheep to lead and to proclaim and to teach, to take seriously their call, that call which stood even when the people became quite confused, lost, or even hardened. They were to remain steadfast in their preaching and teaching. As we said last week, God had given Moses ways of dealing with those who would come among them and say, let's follow Baal, let's follow Ashtoreth, let's worship the stars. And it was not pleasant. Kill them. And if it happens to be a relative, your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your niece, your nephew, then when you kill them, you must throw the first stone. Interesting, interesting thing that. But God gave that warning. You know, what do human beings do? Well, what they do is they actually think, well, we know how to keep this together and we don't have to listen to God's word. Just like when we talk about discipline. You see, these people needed discipline. Many of them. They needed someone to go out to them and call them to repentance. And the leaders had forsaken them. And now they were in Babylon. Now, Babylon had no temple. Babylon had no scrolls accessible. You couldn't go to Amazon. You couldn't go to the corner store and get the word of God. They were dark. Things were dark there, and they were in exile in Babylon. And they would be there 70 years. Imagine the people around. You know, again, you have this whole large group of people, this thing we call the church. And the church failed miserably. And the saints suffered horribly because the people in the church did not want to be church. They wanted to follow whatever. Well, Isaiah says you're like a donkey. I think in heat is the way he describes it. Just looking for something. The word of God was not easy to find, and those who kept faith were in need of care. The hardness and rebellion against God's ways, against his commands, the despising of his gifts would bring hardship on those who still had faith. It doesn't seem fair. The gifts were not present in the same way. And in much the same way we find that happening today when the church decides, well, one out of 6 weeks we can go to church. So part of the body doesn't eat, doesn't feed. Part of the body becomes weak. And there's going to come a time when God's going to purge the church. He's going to ask, do you believe? And will you die rather than deny it? It's not the first time this happened. It's happened again and again and again. The saint doesn't see a problem with that. Why? Because whether we wake, we heard last week, whether we wake or whether we sleep, we're with Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5. The judgment that came upon the people of Judah would affect the saints in their midst. so also today, when the members of the church don't take it seriously, when they just kind of use it for their own purposes, maybe for the school, you know, they think they're going to get their kids a good education, and I'm sure they will. But if you don't keep on and build on that, well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Jesus says that if you despise the word after you've once been ordered by the Spirit leaves, and then seven other demons come in, and the thing for your child is worse than what they were at first. And the members are not serious about the word, and the church diminishes, the light begins to dim as the word and the sacraments are despised, and temptation shakes the church. But the Lord doesn't just sit back and shake his head. He doesn't just sit back and go, well, yeah, you get what you deserve. In every age, for the sake of the church, God speaks the same promise. He makes the same promise. The Lord promised that he would seek and gather his people. It's a funny thing. We just says, oh, yeah, sure, that's what you do, God. That's who you are. No, we can't talk like that. God's people had thumbed their nose at him. They had engaged in idolatry of all sorts. The people around them were miserable, nasty. And with God comes back and he says, I will come and seek you. I myself. Takes your breath away. The people carried away in exile in the midst of darkness would be found. The people that lived in a dark place, a light has shined for them. The Lord sent Ezekiel to cry out to proclaim that the Lord had not forgotten them, even in the midst of this disaster. You see, that's what God does. He preaches to the people who want to hear his word. And they will treasure it and they'll love it. Why? Because of the fact that he is determined to love us eternally. Even more, he would take on human flesh. He would seek them out through word and spirit, to the prophets and the people who would faithfully carry on preaching the word and teaching the word. But even more, he would take on human flesh. He would, as Ezekiel speaks about, this son of David would come and shepherd the people of Israel, would come seeking the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It sounds familiar, isn't it? Because that's exactly what Jesus says his mission was. He was coming to shepherd the people of Israel. And he was a conviction to all of those people in Israel who thought or believed that the Pharisees or the Sadducees were the religious people. They were irreligious. They were idolatrous. Why? Because they removed Christ from the center. And when Christ came, they killed him. They wouldn't want a savior like that. He would come seeking the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He sat down and he ate with tax collectors, with sinners. He walked among the sick and the people who were poor and hungry. He came seeking the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Lord has inscribed us on the palms of his hands. And no matter how dark, no matter how confused and lost, no matter how the fat sheep were using the church for their own purposes, and that's what happens. Even today, people think, this is my church and we'll do with it what I want. What a horrible thing to think. This is not our church. This is Christ's church. And we're called upon to love his body, his church, his people, even as we have been loved. No matter how the fat sheep were using the church for their own purposes, God would come seeking them, and he would feed them then, and when the Christ came, he would feed them then, and even forever, he comes to you tonight to feed you. The Lord would heal and establish his flock again through the word, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And as those who wandered and who got lost, even so lost that they ended up without clothing. They ended up sick and in prison. It sounds like Fantine in Les Miserables. Christians who failed, who got all tangled up in their messy lives. But even more than that, the Lord would call them to repentance and faith through the office of the keys. That's what Jesus did over and over again to the Jews, to the tax collectors, to the prostitutes, to all, for he desired all that all would be saved. You see, when he calls in this Old Testament era, the calling to repentance is calling back to the preaching of Christ in the tabernacle and looking forward to the coming of Christ on the cross. It's the same thing today. Same message. Same message. To tax collectors, to prostitutes, to politicians, to lawyers, to all of those people that we denigrate, to all. For he desired that all be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And the same means was given to save all. It's enough what we have. It's all we need. The Lord will not fail to care for those who sin. Daily and richly, even unto the end of time, he is the one who sends out his servants, to his body, his church, to care for the ill, the hungry, and the imprisoned. And here's where that whole thing turns a bit. He will judge between sheep and sheep. It's a firm and hard text. We find this simple image in the gospel lesson, sheep and goats, maybe. We could go back to two, but it's sheep and sheep. The judgment is rooted in the fact that the fat did not care about the lean, but only about themselves. They lacked love, but even more, they lacked faith from which love would spring. That is why the faithful who cared for the others did not see it as something to boast about. They saw it as love. That is why the faithless missed it. For they didn't know what love was. What am I talking about? The gospel lesson. When did we see you sick and so on and so forth? You didn't see it because you don't have faith. Without faith, you don't have the eyes to see what your neighbor needs. And you don't have the gift of love. And that's the judgment. Without faith, there is no love. Without faith, you are a despicably uncaring person. But with faith in Christ, you don't even notice what you're doing. You don't sit back and give alms. I had a long text all printed out about when you're going to give alms. You don't sit there and ring the bell and wave your arms and virtue signal. You do it. You do it quietly. They could not love those fat sheep. They only cared about themselves. And they pushed and they bumped the others, for they had forgotten that one on which all this stands and grows, one shepherd, my servant David, who will care for them and feed them. This is the Christ, the one Micah prophesies about, in where he speaks about being born in Jerusalem, then going on to feed and shepherd his sheep. The word made flesh, in whose word we abide and live. Those who have forsaken the word, who have not set their hearts on Christ and his work, will either stumble away from the flock or push and abuse the flock for their own purposes. For without Christ, the flock only scatters and darkness ensues. So we cling to the light, to the promises, to the word, and the ongoing realities in our time. The Lord will not forget his flock. He knows them all by name. He has inscribed them on the palms of his hands, and he will bring them home. He continues to seek us out. Even when the church seems to fail to carry on in her tasks, he never forsakes his beloved. He is the good shepherd, and we are his dear flock. Amen.